From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another Friday edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, along with executive producer Jason Becknell, and we've got a fantastic panel of guests from all sorts of businesses from all over Decatur and DeKalb County. We're glad to have them. Before we introduce our panel, we're going to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, you listen live right here on DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com each Friday at 10 and noon. But if you miss the show, you can download the free podcast on our site. They're also housed on iTunes as well. And this edition, as all editions of DeKalb Business Today, brought to you by the Bernellis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967 or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. And what a great place to start with Miss K herself, Callan Bornellis. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Matt.
We're glad to have you. So what's been going on the past, it's probably been about 3 months since we've talked.
Yes.
Things busy?
We've been extremely busy. Extremely busy getting out there, talking to people in different areas. We've went out to Chamblee, Taste of Chamblee, a few weeks ago. So we're out there meeting with the individuals in that area. We've actually had an opportunity to kind of get our clients and some of our other individuals that support our business at the Falcons game last weekend. So we had a lot of fun with that as well. And then we were able to bring some business owners together last night with a networking event. So we've been doing a lot of shaking hands and meeting new people.
You're working hard and then getting up this morning early to be with us. We appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking to you more about your business throughout the course of the show. But want to introduce our second guest. That's Tammy Bailey Fultz. She's the CEO and president of the National Association of Women-Owned Small Businesses. Tammy, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So it seems like the name of the organization is pretty self-explanatory, but tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, actually, it's a little bit more comprehensive than just women-owned small businesses. We focused on educating and positioning not only women-owned but small businesses in general on how to become suppliers and vendors for government contracts, corporate contracts, as well as educational institutes. So we really want to educate and make more small businesses aware of the opportunities that are available to them as vendors and suppliers, because these corporations and agencies are definitely looking to do business with women, veterans, and other small businesses.
How did you come to this? I mean, everybody makes a decision to get involved in a different way, but why was it important to you?
Well, initially, I had an organization of women business owners focused on business development and marketing, and really through prayer, actually asked that it be something more to offer. As many know, in Atlanta is very competitive. There's no shortage of women-owned networking and organizations, and I really was looking for something more and was introduced by a gentleman in regards to government contracting who became a mentor and educated me on the federal aspect. But I really found that there's definitely more layers to it, and so that's what we've evolved to today.
It sounds like a great resource. We'll learn more about it over the course of the show. If you want to check it out in the meantime, the website is nawosb.org. They're on Twitter at NAWOSB. Now, our third guest is Nancy Ladson Rowan. She is with the law office of Nancy Ladson Rowan. Nancy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of law you practice.
My firm, I actually consider myself a family attorney. I actually practice family law. And I also practice criminal defense, but my firm's focus is to actually move back to the family attorney, much like a family doctor, mm-hmm. where if you have an issue or problem or what have you, you can call me. And if I can't handle that problem, I'll direct you in the right direction.
So you got all these shows on TV that sometimes they romanticize the practice of law. Sometimes they make it look really downright bad. What's the reality? What is it really like day to day being a lawyer at your own firm?
It's good, you know, that's why I continue to do it. But there are times when you have certain clients or what have you, and their circumstances are really serious, and they have real problems ahead of them or what have you, but it makes me feel good to be able to actually help guide them through those problems and give them the best legal advice that I can.
Excellent. We'll look forward to learning more about family law and the services that you offer over the course of the show. Our last guest, we let the ladies go first. We're chivalrous around here, but our fourth guest, last but not least, Xavier Biggs. He is the owner of Decatur Boxing Club. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So tell me, we appreciate the opportunity to name drop around here. Talk to me about some of the big names that you've worked with, not just boxers, but you also do personal training at your gym as well.
Well, let me just say this. I'm over my head over here. These beautiful women.
Absolutely. It's a good thing, right?
I had no idea. Y'all caught me with a sucker punch. I had an opportunity to work with Usher, Monica, Shannon Brown, basketball player. And, you know, it's funny because when I first walked in a boxing gym, I had no idea that I'd be taking it to this level. I mean, all I wanted to do was learn how to fight and not get tired while I do it. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a blessing, and I appreciate you having me.
No, yeah, and we appreciate you being here. You grew up in Philly.
Philadelphia, fight town.
Philly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got the history. It's got the history, obviously, through the movies with Rocky. Does Atlanta have that same type of situation when you talk about young kids coming up and getting into boxing, or is that something you're trying to grow?
Well, you know, Atlanta's getting there. Philly, realistically, it is a fight town. People come from all around the country to come to Atlanta, so it's taking a little time before it get to that point where Philly is in boxing. But I feel like the fitness part of boxing is growing more in Atlanta more than anything.
If people saw that last Mayweather fight, it was all about fitness and not much boxing. He's dancing around the ring for 12 rounds. You got to be able to stand up and do that cardio. So that's a part of what you're doing, right?
That's right.
All right. We'll look forward to learning more about some of the services that you offer there at Decatur Boxing Club. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. And let's circle back to Callum Bernellis from the Bernellis Insurance Group. Remind us about some of the types of insurance that you offer. What are some of the big ones that are going on right now?
Yeah, everybody knows Farmers in our agency for the personal lines, the auto, the home, the life insurance. Those are on the personal lines side. But I definitely wanted to mention to some of the listeners today that Farmers also offers commercial insurance. And with the commercial, you're talking about the general liability, the commercial property, umbrella, and work comp coverages, some of the important coverages that most business owners need today.
How long have you all been dealing with commercial insurance?
Farmers has been dealing with commercial insurance since they've started. It's been around since 1928. So it's been around for quite some. They're also one of the top leading commercial insurance carriers. So a lot of people don't know that as well. So they've been dealing with it for quite some time.
What are some of the specific instances that you see where businesses have that need for insurance? What has gone wrong where they have that need?
Well, the biggest thing I'm seeing is a lot of people aren't aware of the work comp side. They're not aware of when they need it. And, you know, of course, there's expense for that. But with the work comp coverage, they're getting hit with these letters from the work comp board after the fact with huge fines. And that's kind of what I'm seeing, that they're waiting to get these fines before handling it on the front end. So that's one of the things that we're trying to tackle with most of our community, just letting them know, hey, you have more than three employees. It's gonna come out that you definitely need to get the work comp coverage before you get that fine from the work comp board.
What's the difference for you as an insurance agency, whether you're working for commercial insurance for a very small business, a mom and pop, or a mid to bigger size company? How does that differ for you?
Well, there isn't much difference on our end because we want to treat everyone pretty much the same. We want to come in there and review their needs, exactly, you know, how many employees they have, looking at the size of their location. So we want to do that initial review with them, discuss their needs, and try to offer them the best coverages that are available.
Is it something that businesses are aware of, that they have that need? Is that something you have to reach out to them and kind of make them aware of?
Well, a lot of people just aren't aware of it. You know, it's our profession, so we do review their coverages with them. And that's why we're here for them. They're just pretty much, if they're a restaurant, they're familiar with what they need as a restaurant owner. If they're a salon, they're familiar with their needs in that particular industry. But on the insurance side, it's unfortunate that, you know, they don't read those documents like they should. So we kind of come in there and try to enlighten them on what's going on, where there may be some gaps, and try to help protect their needs with that.
Talk to me a little bit about the auto insurance side. I've got a neighbor who just turned 16.
Oh.
And I think his parents probably having a heart attack when they get their car insurance bill. Talk to us a little bit about, I mean, there is the perception that when you get a teenage driver onto your policy, take out a second mortgage on your house, because it costs you a lot. Yeah. What are you seeing in that kind of realm?
Yeah, it's a trade-off. when you have a young driver, you're more than likely going to see a premium increase because they're rating based on that person's driving experience, which at that time it's
pretty much zero.
Be?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So they're going to rate based on the experience. But on the other side of it, you have to look at if that person is a good student. There may be discounts that may be available for that person. So you're looking at their grades. If they've taken a defensive driving course, that may be another discount. So parents should look at getting as many discounts that are available for their young driver. They do need to add them onto their policy because if that person is driving and that information wasn't revealed, that can be a situation where a claim may not be covered, unfortunately. So I do advise that if they do have any young drivers in their home, to talk to their agent, get them added onto their policy, and find out what discounts that they can apply to the policy.
It's DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes talking with Callum Bernellis from Bernellis Insurance Group in Dunwoody, a division of Farmers. You hear about bundled coverage. How much money can it save a family if they've got their homeowners insurance, their auto insurance, maybe some life insurance through the same group, maybe through Farmers?
Wow, that's one of the hugest, that's a huge discount. You're looking at 30-35% discount on all of your products. Normally on the life product, you won't see a huge discount on that end. It's pretty regulated on that end, but on the auto and the home, you're going to see a huge discount when combining your products with one carrier.
Are people thinking a lot about life insurance right now? What kind of feedback do you get from some of your clients when you talk to them about that?
Well, September was Life Awareness Month, so we were trying to enlighten all our clients and our community as large about life insurance and just letting them know the need of life insurance. You do run into individuals that feel like they don't need it, especially the young individuals. So we're just trying to let them know that, hey, while you're young, while you're healthy, go ahead and get the life insurance. And even for those that feel that they can't get it, there's always a product out there for those that may have had issues in the past. There's a product out there that we have that can fit almost everyone's situation.
Before we wrap up with you, I know that last time you were on, we talked about the Farmers Insurance commercial. They've got their jingle.
Yes.
That is now catchy. I think for years and years it was, we won't name the company. We don't want to name competitors of yours, but you had a caveman and you have a lizard.
Yes.
and that kind of caught on. What has it meant for your business to have kind of a catchy national ad campaign?
Farmers is new to Georgia. So with having that campaign, it's helping the people here in Georgia realize that we're here to offer them that coverage. And it's just helping us grow our business as a whole.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Callum Bernellis, again, you can find all the information for her company linked up to our website, dekalb.businessradiox.com. If you're in Dunwoody, surrounding areas, you need commercial insurance, go ahead and give her a call as well. Let's get to our second guest, Tammy Bailey Foltz. She's the CEO and president of the National Association of Women-Owned Small Businesses. And I know that you talk a lot about the Pink Procurement Expo and Luncheon. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're very excited about that event. It's an event that this is actually our third annual event, but we actually had, this is the second one for this year. So last October, we launched the Pink Procurement Expo and Luncheon, phenomenal event in which we encourage small businesses and not just women owned, but all small businesses to come out to meet procurement directors, contracting officers, as well as your supplier diversity managers as well. It's an opportunity for you to showcase, to have a more intimate conversation with them. You're seated at the lunch table with them as well. This year, we're excited to bring on board. We have a phenomenal guest speaker for lunch, and that is Nancy Tedeschi. Nancy, some may know the name or may not know the name, but more know her more by her product, which is the eyeglass repair kit. It's known as Snap It Screw. She has sold millions of those worldwide, and she was featured on Steve Harvey Talk Show. So she is our keynote speaker for this year. And I wanted to bring that element in because a number of business owners, being business owners and entrepreneurs, are very creative. And so they're always wanting to know how can they get their product in the largest retailer of the world, which is Walmart. And so in bringing Nancy, she will be speaking to that. But along with her, we have our procurement officers. We have MARTA, who will be represented, as well as Grady Hospital. as well as some other in the procurement arena who will be holding workshops specifically to talk about how to do business with their entities.
Now, you kind of touched on it a second ago, but you said anyone can come. You're the National Association of Women-Owned Small Businesses. Yes. Is that open to men as well?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We love men.
Now, you sound like Donald Trump for a second. I love women.
No, not at all. But we really do embrace, because, again, it's really about supporting small businesses as a whole. So it's not limited to women. That is our niche market, of course. There is and has been a growing interest in women. And the whole idea for the organization came about as a result of back in 2010 that the federal government put forth an act, a law in regards to doing business with women and giving them more, awarding them more contracts. And so that became official in February of 2011. And since that time, there has been just a growing interest in terms of certifications and procurement opportunities. But we're well past that point. And so we want to make small businesses as a whole aware that there's not just opportunities with the federal government. That's a goal to shoot for. However, depending upon the industry you're in, whether it's insurance or fitness or law, that you just have to find the right agency for the industry that you're in. And it may be at the local level within DeKalb County. It may be with a corporate entity, with MARTA, if you're talking about fitness. I mean, all of these entities have employees. So they have to service not only their employees, but they also have to service the general public. And so with your services and products as small businesses, there's more than enough opportunities for everyone at every level.
What are some of your membership numbers like? And then some of your specific members, what are they like?
Sure. Yeah, we have more than 250 women-owned small businesses, including and men as well. And while we're located primarily in Metro Atlanta, we do have chapters in Augusta. We have chapters in Macon, Savannah. We're on the coast in Brunswick. We also have chapters that are in Birmingham, Alabama. And so our members consist of, again, not only the small businesses, but they're veterans. They are a number of women who have come into some traditional businesses and others that are non-traditional, such as tire disposal and demolition. We have construction owners. We have CEOs of insurance agencies with law firms. So it's a very diverse group, and we're really proud of where the women are in terms of their businesses, janitorial services, any number. And some of them have won very lucrative contracts. But it's not just the contracts. It's the networking. It's the other opportunities that come out of it. During the spring when we were in Augusta, we held our last expo there, and it was how to focus on how to do business with Fort Gordon. And out of that one event, we have one of our members who is now working on a multi-million dollar deal. So there are so many opportunities with just being visible, participating, being active, and then going through the process and becoming more educated.
You mentioned government grants and contracts. What's the difference there?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people, when we first get into talking about what it is that we do, and a lot of people will confuse it and think we're talking about grants. And there is a big difference. A lot of times the federal government or other entities may put out a grant for a community, and those are great, and more than likely grants are going to nonprofits. It's not limited to only nonprofit organizations. There are some for-profits that can benefit from grants as well. And typically, when you get a grant, a grant can be awarded to many companies at the same time. So it can go to an individual, it can go to for-profit and nonprofit, and it's usually based upon perhaps the government having a specific need for something and wanting you to develop that more. But when you talk about a contract, such as if it's MARTA or if it's Grady or CDC or whoever, they have a specific need. And typically, they're only awarding that contract to one company. So it's not. Now, there are some instances if it's very large, say, for instance, the Braves Stadium. You know, that's a huge construction project. And so you have your what we call prime, who the contract is actually awarded to, the main construction company. And then that construction company will list sub opportunities. So then it's awarded to multiples. But there are so many, you know, there are so many levels to it. And so you have to figure out your company, the capacity, what are you capable of, do you have, because whatever entity is taking you on, of course, they want to make sure that you have the least amount of risk and that you can handle the project, whatever it is.
We're talking with Tammy Bailey-Foltz here on DeKalb Business today. How does a small business know how to go about starting the process trying to get a contract?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do, and helping to educate them. So we love for anyone who's interested to contact us directly. You have on the website, you'll have our contact information, but certainly that's the start of it. And then we sit down and do an assessment, talk to you, figure out, taking a look, especially around your past performance. That's really key. And past performance meaning not only what your company has directly done, but also what you as an individual may have done. A lot of times businesses evolve out of what people were working, what they were doing when they were working previously. So whatever that experience, that counts as well. And then being able to put all of that together along with other factors, making sure you have insurance, making sure that you have adequate coverage so that you can fulfill the contract opportunity itself. But certainly contacting us is how to get started.
So you're doing great work all around Georgia. Is there a strategy to expand it across the country?
Well, we're moving in that direction. And we started with, well, we started actually in Maryland. We had a chapter there, and also stated in Birmingham, Alabama. And so we definitely want to do it. But Georgia, with 159 counties here, that Georgia is keeping us quite busy. And there are more than enough opportunities within the state of Georgia and the surrounding area. We're blessed in being in Metro Atlanta that you can get to most places within an hour and a half or two, excluding the traffic. And so there's no shortage. And with the military bases and things of that nature, there's ample opportunity right here in the state.
That's excellent. Tammy Bailey Foltz, the CEO and president of the National Association of Women-Owned Small Businesses, also open to men.
Yes.
You can check them out online, nawosb.org. Follow them on Twitter at NAWOSB. And where can people find out more about the pink procurement? When is that happening?
Yes, the date for it is Thursday, October 29th. It's the last Thursday of this month. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. held at the Holiday Inn Chamblee Dunwoody. And of course, you can go to pinkprocurementexpo.com to get all the information.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's get back with Nancy. Nancy Ladson-Rowan. She is with the law office of Nancy Ladson-Rowan. And you mentioned family law. I think people automatically think divorce cases, custody cases. Is it more than that?
It is more than that. I think of family law as the law that touches the family. Actually, it not only a large part of it is obviously divorce, child support, child custody, but it also includes guardianship of a minor child. You may have someone in your family or what have you who's not quite capable of taking care of their child at the time or whatever and needs another member of the family to be a guardian. Guardianship of adults, people who aren't able to make decisions for themselves at that time. Wills, adoption, anything that you think of that actually touches the family, I consider to encompass family law.
Adoption has to be a rewarding thing for you to work with, but a lot of the other stuff, the divorce and the custody, and that's got to be tough.
It can be tough. And I would say with divorces, I think sometimes people have an unrealistic view of what a divorce is. Sometimes client comes in, they come in and they think, hey, my life is going to be different. It's just going to be my life with this person out of the house and everything else is going to be the same. So one of the things when my clients come in, I tell them, I ask them like what, why, and how, you know, that's the information they need to know. Why are you trying to get a divorce? Is it a circumstance where your wife went out on a girls' weekend and now you're upset? Or is it a circumstance where you found out your husband has been unfaithful since, the start of your marriage? Mm-hmm. Have you gone to counseling? You know, have you gone to talk to your pastor? Things along that line. And then the next thing is, you know, of course, the process. If you're a two-income family and you have one household and you're about to change now to being a two household family with two incomes, those things, you know, they matter. And so these are the things you need to look at in terms of whether you need to actually go that next step to get a divorce or not.
Tell me a little bit about wills. What's the right age that you would hope people start thinking about that, start coming to you for that service? And what's the actual age that they are starting to come to you?
I think as soon as you start acquiring property, and if that is as early as 18, you need to start getting a will. At that point, usually when I have people who come in to get a will, they're around about 70, 72. And I would say, and I have an actual personal story regarding that. My mom actually died in last year and she did not have a will, which I guess is surprising to a lot of people when you have a daughter who's actually an attorney who does will. But you don't necessarily want to think of death when you're thinking of your own family members. But she did not have a will. She has five children. She has property. She died suddenly. I talked to her on Saturday. She wasn't ill or anything along that line. Monday morning, my older brother called me and said that she'd passed away. Basically, drive to South Carolina. We don't have, I don't know what the insurance policy is. I don't know what the deed of the house is. I don't know any of that information, which is why I would say it's most important to have a will as soon as possible, especially if you have minor children. Because if you die and your kids are still minor, who's going to be their guardian? How are you going to pay the house payment, that kind of stuff? But you can make those decisions in a will. So if you have kids, if you're acquiring property, anything along that line, getting a will is extremely important.
If it's a straightforward case where I've got five kids, I just want to divide my assets five ways, and it's real straightforward, real easy, is that a costly thing to get a will made?
It's not a costly thing to get a will made if you're your everyday family. Let's say you have a house, you have a vacation home, things along that line. It should not be costly. My current initiative is due to the incident that, of course, the circumstances with my mom, I want everybody to get a will. So my thing now is I actually have, if you need a will, I actually have individuals call me and I make those wills affordable. If you have a straightforward will, that's not, you know, you're talking about a 2-3 page document, mm-hmm. or what have you. If you are, you know, a multimillionaire and you have trust, things along that line, you're probably going to pay
that
a pretty good
work,
penny.
Yeah.
So, but wills are affordable. And, you know, I try to make wills affordable for families.
You mentioned, or you talk a little bit about DUI, criminal law. If someone stopped by police, what do you say to them?
I tell people the police, if an officer stops you, we're assuming at minimum he has a reasonable suspicion that you are committing a crime. So from the time he gets out the car to come and speak with you, he is trying to gather information regarding whether you have committed a crime or not. So the thing you need to be thinking about is how much information are you going to give that give that officer. So you should be polite, for sure. Give them your driver's license information, your car registration, that kind of stuff like that. But if you have been drinking, you need to make a decision. Am I going to go ahead and blow in this intoxilizer? Am I going to do a walk and turn and things along that line? Or am I in Georgia? You can possibly use your driver's license if you refuse to blow. Am I going to lose my driver's license, or am I going to go in a circumstance where, hey, they're not going to have evidence to convict me of a DUI? So, you know, you've been drinking, it's probably not a good idea to give officers as much information as possible. But it's also important to actually be cooperative, be polite, because usually it's on video or what have you, and you don't want any information to be used against you.
Okay, so belligerent. Controversial question, I guess, but you've got all these celebrities, athletes, entertainers who will get pulled for DUI. They'll get arrested for DUI. Mm-hmm. They'll come out and say, I didn't do this. The officer's wrong, but I apologize to my fans, my family, and they end up getting off and they have apologized. Regular Joe Schmo, who's not a big time celebrity and gets pulled for DUI, how hard do you have to work? Are you able to get him that same kind of result, or is it just money talks?
No, even with celebrities or what have you, we're looking at the same type of evidence, because the police officers, they're not celebrities. If they're stopping you, they're turning on a video camera. Mm-hmm. That's number one. They're approaching your car. They're all pretty much cheering the same. Hey, I'm going to ask you, hey, have you been drinking tonight? Usually people tend to say, yeah, I've had 2 beers, because they think in their mind, like, hey, if I've had 2 beers, I'm not intoxicated. That's not necessarily true, but that's evidence that they can use or what have you. And sometimes what you have with celebrities, they're making deals behind the doors or whatever, which is the same thing here or whatever. Even though you may have charges for DUI, we might be able to get it down to a reckless, or may be able to get you into a program, things along that line. It all comes down to how much information has that officer gathered in that stop. So basically, it's more up to the individual who's stopped than necessarily whether you're a celebrity or you're a regular Joe Smo.
Tell me about the first offender law.
The first offender law in Georgia, basically what it does is it allows you, if you have committed a felony for the first time, it allows you to, you plead guilty, you complete probation, and then that actual conviction is no longer on your record. Okay.
Okay.
The other side of that is, let's say you are on probation or whatever and you commit another crime, the judge can actually resentence you under the first offender. So if your original sentence was, you know, hey, we're going to give you 10 years probation and you actually violate your probation, the judge can come back and say, hey, I'm going to give you 10 years to serve too. But the benefit of that, of the first offender, is it gives a person who makes a mistake an opportunity to actually, hey, I'm going to serve my time here and I can move on with my life. I can get a job now because I don't have this felony on my record, things along that line. I can get into school. So
does that still impact, and maybe it's a question for Callum, but their insurance rates?
I would think if you have like a DUI or something along that line, it would definitely
it's definitely going to affect your insurance rates.
Have you seen that firsthand with
yes,
some? Yeah,
we have seen that. And you get to a point where at times they may need a SR-22 where they have to prove that they have insurance. It can become very costly at times with a DUI. So, yeah.
Interesting. Nancy Ladson Rowan from the law office of Nancy Ladson Rowan. You can check out her website, nlrlaw.com. She's on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Nancy Rowan Law. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Some good legal insight. That's always fun. Speaking of fun, let's get to our fourth guest, Xavier Biggs with the Decatur Boxing Club. You can follow them on Twitter at Decatur Boxing. You can check out the website as well. Your brother was a big-time boxer, an Olympic gold medalist, and even got in the ring with Mike Tyson.
You know, it's funny you mention that because this weekend is the anniversary of his fight with Tyson, which was the last 15-round heavyweight championship fight on record.
Really?
And in celebration with that, I'm doing a boot camp this weekend. Matter of fact, you caught me right in the, you know, in the middle of ripping and running with that. But yeah, he's at first super heavyweight gold medal champion, the only American to hold that title today.
Now, it was a 15-round heavyweight fight. I would imagine it didn't go 15 rounds back in Mike Tyson's heyday.
It didn't go 15, but
did it go 15 seconds? I mean, did he stand in for a bit?
7 rounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. That's respectable.
Yeah, people say that's an accomplishment.
That's respectable, right. Yeah, from back in that day. So tell me a little bit about this boot camp. I was reading up on it on your website. Sounds like a great way to get in shape. Kind of a cool experience. It terrifies me that over the course of 3 days, you're going to be put through the paces like an actual boxer, right?
Well, you know, every trainer has their own style. And what I'm doing with this boot camp is I'm letting people feel the experience of a boxer training for a world-class fight. You don't do the you go through the fitness part and not the actual fighting though, but we do the meals. Some people coming from out of town, I put them in a hotel. It's a great experience, man.
That's really cool for somebody who and I'll just speak about myself. I'm intrigued by the idea of training like a boxer, getting into shape that way. But you think about going in there with a bunch of guys who know what they're doing. They know how to work the heavy bag and they've been doing this. Right. It's a little bit intimidating. How do you deal with those first timers?
Well, you know what? That's an issue sometimes because a lot of people think like that. But once you get in the doors, come through the doors, it's like, you know, you wish you could have came a long time ago. You know what I mean? I could start you off from wherever you at. It don't matter.
What's your staff like? The trainers that you work with, that you employ there at Decatur Boxing, what are some of their backgrounds?
Well, most of them used to train under me. Some are retired from amateur boxing. And I have a few personal trainers. I have a massage therapist that's a fitness expert also. And, you know, they have different experiences in different areas.
Now, you start working with kids, what, as young as 7 years old, I think your website says?
Yeah, 7 years old.
What's the reaction of the parents? How do you get parents to sign off on this activity where they're going to be hitting each other?
Well, for the most part, we ask them from the beginning what their goals are. You know, most of the time the kids don't be, their goals are not to fight. You know what I mean? Just to get in shape, use the boxing, training to help build character and physical fitness. You know what I mean? But, and then when they do pursue a career, we don't get them in a ring to at least 5-6 months of training.
And they're wearing the brain buckets, but yeah, the headgear exactly. And everything else.
Right.
Okay. That's interesting. Talk to me about some of the people that you have, the grown-ups. Are they just using it, your members, as a way to get in shape, or are people actually becoming fighters?
Well, it's funny because my gym is probably one of the most authentic boxing gyms in Georgia, but most of my members are, 80% of them just coming in for the fitness part.
Really? Yeah. What does it mean to have an authentic boxing gym?
Well, you know what they say, a man's experiences are ingredients in what make him what he is.
Uh-huh.
If you come in my gym, you'll see what I mean. You'll see the old posters, and you have to see it. You go to my website, bigsboxing.com, I got pictures of it. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Now, you've got, you came up in a time, 70s, 80s, when boxing, I mean, that was big business back then. Today, right. You know, it's not really mainstream anymore, outside of you got Floyd Mayweather fights a couple times a year. Where's boxing headed?
Well, Floyd makes so much money, he can afford to fight a couple of times a year. Back in the day, they fought more because they wasn't producing as much money as they are today. But, you know, like I said earlier, boxing is going more towards the fitness area now. People are starting to realize the benefits of the fitness aspect of boxing now. And it's a lot of retired boxers that's becoming trainers. And, you know, it's like a new market.
You work with both men and women. And I know probably a decade ago or so, kind of Leila Ali came onto the scene in women's boxing. Now it's kind of flipped over to UFC with Ronda Rousey. What kind of female participation do you have at the boxing gym?
Well, actually, I just one of my female boxers just won a ringside world championship.
Wow.
A two-time Golden Glove champion. Her name is Jessica Lane Bass. And I trained a young lady that won the Guinness World Book record of being the oldest female ever to be a world champion.
How old?
Right. I think she was 41.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. Before we wrap up with you, I don't think that any of us are necessarily going to be championship boxers, right. But if we go to your gym, if we go through that one-hour workout that you put people through, what does it entail? What kind of workout does a boxer get?
Well, the first 20 minutes is cardio and warm-up, and then we step it up with some, you can do some heavy bag work, or you can do some hand pad work, and then we cool down with some ab work.
Okay.
But each workout is different. It's boxers do 1,000 things before they even get in a ring. So, you know, but basically it's 20 minutes of cardio. Then we pick it up for another 20 minutes, like high intense training. Then we cool down with some ab work.
You sparred with some greats. That's a different workout, a workout of a different variety. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got beat up by Pernell Whitaker.
Former world champion.
Five-time world champion. Meldrick Taylor, two-time world champion, Rocky Lockridge, and I feel honored to be get my butt kicked by them guys.
Well, that's awesome. You can go get your butt kicked, or you can just get in shape down at Decatur Boxing Club. Follow them on Twitter at Decatur Boxing. You said the website, bigsboxing.com.
Yes, sir.
BIGGSboxing.com. Xavier Biggs from Decatur Boxing Club, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all of our guests being here. Callum Bornelis from the Farmers Insurance Group, the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody, Nancy Ladson-Rowan, the Law Office of Nancy Ladson-Rowan, and Tammy Bailey-Fultz, CEO and President of the National Association of Women-Owned Small Businesses. You're a great panel. We appreciate you guys being here today.
Thank you
for having us. Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today. We'll be back at noon with another panel of great guests coming to us from the Chamblee area, so make sure to tune in then. Until then, for Executive Producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.